This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moments of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to shew yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for Your Bible and You.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 23.
God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
Good.
And God said,
let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the vault of the sky.
So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said,
be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth.
And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
Just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 to 23. Keep this in your heart.
AWR, Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, the Voice of Hope.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I lead you on.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Youth Corner. My name is Afrenia Makeke. Lord Lugard Webu and Anita Adombuache are here with me once again to continue the discussion on skin bleaching. This time round, we find out whether there are some more acceptable ways of bleaching the skin. Some people go for the natural means using lemon and some other ingredients. Lord, do those ones fall within the range of acceptability?
Well, if you use bleaching, I wouldn't be able to give you any answers. But if you use
natural means, some people have special baths, lying, some special concoctions, if I may call them, to become fair. Right. Not necessarily bleaching. Okay. The term they use is improve their skin color. Yeah. But in the end, it ends up enhancing the color of the skin.
You know, God expects that we appear good all the time. Cleanliness, they say, is next to what? Godliness and all that. So the way you present yourself matters a lot. So you may want to always appear good, all right? But I wouldn't advise you to make frantic efforts going for things to apply to your body and all that to look good or appear good. Everything we need to appear good or look good is in there in the Bible for us. I'll put it in two broad categories. The first one is about our diet. If you eat well, you have no problem at all with how you appear. Unless, of course, you have a cat and then it leaves a mark on your body. Okay? If you eat well, particularly fruits and vegetables, these lotions that we use, most of them were made from, these fruits and vegetables with some other chemicals added just to give it more impact. So if you eat these things from the natural source, like the avocado pear, carrots, pawpaw, those green leafy vegetables as well, those things will help give your skin a good look on any day at all. Then we talk about habits as well. Habits, I would say, if you bath well, you groom your skin very well, you wouldn't have any problem of wanting to appear nicer by applying certain things to your skin. You avoid yourself from excessive heat or sunburns. And you wouldn't have any effect on the skin, which you may want to stop or minimize. So habits and diet will help you a lot.
Anita, are there more acceptable ways of enhancing the skin without necessarily bleaching?
Yes, there are.
And just before we look at that issue, I just want us to explore this as well. The matter of people not necessarily purchasing creams and all that to bleach their skin by using other natural products like lemon, as I stated earlier, and some products that contain vitamin C to enhance the color of their skin, eventually leading to bleaching. They may call it natural, but is it also sinful?
For me, I feel anything done for the sole purpose of bleaching is unacceptable. But if you would want tips on how to keep your skin healthy, the key is healthy, then fine. Then that's what my brother Lord said. I would like to add a few by saying hydration is very important. Water, water, water. We take that for granted, but when you drink water in its required amount, you realize that there's a change in your skin. And one thing too, you have to moisturize your skin. It's very important. Some people may say, I have oily skin and all that. God knows why he made it so. And for those of us who don't have it, you must remember to moisturize your skin. Because when your skin is dry, it's prone to crack. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have moisturizing creams. We have those that don't have the chemical substances like cocoa butter, shea butter. You can use those ones. Those ones are healthy. And then we also have the act of cleansing your face with a face towel and soap. You don't necessarily have to buy a face cleanser. When you have a separate towel, I usually advise that you do it with a soft one. And don't rub it too hard. Gently. Sometimes we rub it with the intention of cleaning and getting rid of the dirt. But actually, you rub it gently in a circular motion. I've tried it and I've realized that there's improvement in my skin. And then also the last thing is to apply sunscreen. My brother was talking about trying as much as possible to avoid the sun. But in our part of the world, it's not always the case. So if you find out that your job permits you to be in the sun more than required, you can apply sunscreen. And sunscreen won't bleach you, but it will maintain the skin. It will avoid the direct UV rays from coming out.
How do we also avoid, in totality, the issue of increasing cases of bleaching, even in the chin?
The first thing is the attitude. We have to attack the heart. If you don't make the person understand that he or she is beautifully and wonderfully made, the person will continue to purchase the bleaching creams. You must make the person understand that God was wise. He is wise and will always be wise. That is why he created that skin color for you. And you are a result of your parents. Your parents came together. You don't expect to have a dark father and a dark mother and automatically come out fair. Of course, there are rare cases. But God is wise. He will always be wise. He gave you the skin for a reason. And you have to appreciate it. You have to use it to build upon your life. And that's why I was saying earlier on that that's why he made a variety. We have very dark, we have light and all that. But all these things glorify him. That's why the whole earth is not one color.
We have pink flowers, we have green grass, we have blue sea, we have variety of colors. And this adds up to the beauty of his creation. So we can only reduce skin bleaching by informing them about how beautiful they are. If you're a parent, continuously remind your child of how beautiful she is, of how handsome he is. Continuously whisper words of encouragement to your wife. Let her know that you appreciate her for who she is and not for who she wants to be, whether bleaching or not. She's beautiful and he's handsome, no matter what.
All right, Lord, to the same question, really, how we can prevent as Christians in our own way the prevalence of bleaching cases, people actually bleaching, trying to enhance their skin through unacceptable ways like this.
I only say that our continuous trust in God alone is enough. Whatever you are, whatever you've been, whatever you are, whatever you'll be, you entrust it into God's hands. And you live a kind of life that will give you the chance to take attention off yourself. People give themselves too much attention. How do I look? How do I appear? I mean, all these things. You seek to honor God in everything that you do. And if that rings a bell in your heart and in your mind all the time, even when the thought of bleaching or toning your skin in a way comes to mind, you can quickly brush it off. So trusting wholly in the Lord and then seeking to honor him in everything that you do is a process. You learn to do that and you're okay.
Okay, Annie.
I just wanted to add that these celebrities who are portrayed in the magazines, it's not 100% real. They go through a lot of editing. Sometimes, even when you watch how they go through their photo shoots, you realize that there is a large amount of light. If you should see them in real life, you are better off than most of them. So we shouldn't strive to be those people who are portrayed in the glossy magazines. Be you and be real. And that's what
you also see that appearances are always deceptive.
Be you and be real. That's what Anita says. Yeah. And Law says also that you must be content with your appearance, because sometimes what you see outside, people portraying, may not necessarily be original. Be content with all God has given you. On that note, we draw the curtain on this discussion and continue with our final part on skin bleaching. My name is Afrenia Makeke. Lord Lugard Webu and Anita Adomwache have been my panelists.
Is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51058 or +233 2087 04532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, Voice of Hope.
The Jesus shed for me way back. Strength.
shed that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary,
the blood that gives me strength from death.
The only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
On the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Beloved in the Lord, this moment of truth, time set aside that God speaks to our heart. Shall we bow as we pray? Father, we commit ourselves and all our listeners unto the hands of Jesus. May you speak through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to reach many hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, we are continuing with our topic on homosexuality, lesbianism, and bisexuality. These are social issues affecting our society today. And in our first series, we ended up with the thought that those who practice homosexuality and lesbianism and bestiality are coming as a result of they taking God out of their minds, and those who practice this, the Bible says, they deserve it. It sounds so serious, but the Bible sets the standard for morality, and we conform to that standard because God is the creator, and He knows best what belongs to us. We accept it and are saved, and we reject it, and we are condemned. Beloved in the Lord, today's lifestyle, most of you would agree with me that sexual sin has become common. Fornication is eating up the society. Fornication in higher places and lower places is catching up with us everywhere. What do we do, and where do we stand in this situation? Where do we stand in this situation? These are very difficult times for us as society and also as the Church of God. But what are the causes of homosexuality, lesbianism, and the likes? Though a lot of research has been made in this area, not all is known about the causes for homosexuality or same sex. But only little reliable information is known. And some of these factors that lead to homosexuality, we're going to point them out one after the other. One is maternal close binding intimacy and paternal detachment hostility. It simply means if a man and a woman give birth to a child, particularly a son, and the father of the child becomes irresponsible, detach himself from the child's care. For that reason, the child develops a close maternal binding with the mother. And anytime the man comes in to see this boy with the mother, he frowns, he shouts, he becomes angry, chastising this boy. What happens or imprint in the mind of this boy is that he grows up with the memory that it is a wrong thing for a man to be attached to the opposite sex. And gradually, this kind of children, some of them begin to develop a wrong perception or conception about the opposite sex, and they get attached or detach away from them and get attached to same-sex relationship. 2, heterophobia. Persons who fear sexual contact with the opposite sex. If they are men, they are not so much enthused to get into relationship with the opposite sex. They are unable to. There's some kind of fear within their heart. Such people, if they are not helped, they end up getting along with same-sex relationship and end up becoming lesbian or homosexuals. Number 3. It can be a socially learned response. When you live in a kind of society or a close-knit environment where the practice is prevalent and you see it and you know it and you have that kind of friends peer groups, it is likely you can learn and practice and become like one of them. Number four, persons who have had an unpleasant experience with the opposite sex that causes them to be afraid in approaching a woman or a man. Maybe he went into a relationship and something strange, terrible happened to him, or something might have happened in their home. Maybe a sister was raped in his very presence, and that began to develop certain level of hatred in the heart of that person against the opposite sex. That persons, if not helped, can gradually tow their way to same-sex relationship. Beloveds in the Lord, this leads to a change of attitude toward opposite sex, and that persons need help. Some of the other factors are pathological. They can be psychological factors, and some can also be genetical problems that might have occurred in the process of the development of that fetus into certain difficulties and certain challenges. These are what factors researchers are putting across. But what does the Bible say are the causes for homosexuality and lesbianism? The Bible paints quite a different picture altogether from what researchers are putting forth. And we can rely so much upon God because He is the omniscient God. He knows everything and He's the omnipotent. He's most powerful, and whatever He says, He's faithful and just. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8 to 20, Abel makes it clear that one factor that leads to this same-sex relationship is rejection of God's truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." When we reject God's truth, what happens is futility that begins to crop into it. And Romans chapter 1 verse 28 says, one of the factors is futile mind or debased mind. Romans 1 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." And verse 21 also adds emphasis, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thought, and their foolish heart were darkened." So when we begin to separate ourselves from what is truth, we begin to drag gradually into problems. Point number three, say uncontrolled lust. When we do not control our lust, we can drift into these social situations which society called unacceptable. The Bible says they are unacceptable because they are perversion. We can drift into it. And Romans 1:5 says it's a choice. People choose darkness or choose light. In exchange, when they put down the truth, they choose what is lie. And the Bible paints homosexuality or lesbianism more of a spiritual problem, a separation of man from God. Thus, for us to be able to overcome this social perversion, there is a need for spiritual or divine intervention. And we're going to look at some of the signs that we can see, that when we see, it may appear that these persons can or may be homosexual or lesbian. We're going to look at that in our next series. Shall we give ourselves to God in prayer? Father, we bless your name. May you continue to guide us as we digest this situation, as we begin to address this social situation in which we find ourselves, and how best we can help our brethren out of it. Guide us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This moment of truth by Pastor Jim Y. Aguado. May God bless you.
Come home. of Hope.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuel Abrefu Mensah. Bye for now.